Bible teaches us that the Lord works in mysterious ways. And this night, I would say amen too, Charlie. I think we all noticed our guest this evening. Her name is Susan White. And I think it's a miracle of God that she's here this evening. And we're very happy that you are here. And from my understanding, through both the webpage and Jamie, you found your way to us. If you have your Bibles, let's open up to Acts chapter 2. I like to give a little bit of background to Peter's sermon that I'm about to read. Jesus has already been resurrected from the dead. He's asked his apostles to stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And then Jesus, we are told, went to heaven on a cloud where he now sits to the right hand of God, and he rules. He is king now. He's not going to be a king sometime in the future. No, Jesus is king today, and he is ruling today. But he asked his apostles to stay in Jerusalem. And it's of interest that this sermon is going to be preached by Peter, and I think there's a reason why it is Peter who is the spokesman. If you remember, Jesus gave Peter the key to the kingdom. And it's going to be Peter that opens up heaven's gate, first for the Jews. Second, he goes to Samaria after the baptisms have already taken place, because Peter needs to use the key and open the gate of heaven for the Samaritans. And then we know, thirdly, thank God, he went to Cornelius and opened the gate for the Gentile world. And so it is no wonder that Peter is the one preaching this first sermon. And you can imagine, the Holy Spirit, it's Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has come upon the 12 apostles, and it must have been wonderful to see. And now these men were all speaking, and people in every language heard the apostles in their own language, and they were amazed at all the going-ons. And some had claimed, oh, they're just drunk. And Peter speaks up and says, no, we are not drunk. This is what God had prophesied in the book of Joel, chapter 2. And then he reads this piece of Joel that explains that God is pouring out his Spirit. The new covenant has begun, and there is now a new way to come to God. And in verse 21, he says, then anyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. Now, there are those who take this out of context and say, all you got to do is say that I believe in Jesus, and you're saved. But Peter explains this scripture. Peter explains what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. Let's read his sermon now, starting with verse 22. People of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus from Nazareth was a very special man. God clearly showed this to you by the miracles, wonders and signs he did through Jesus. You all know this because it happened right here among you. These people in Jerusalem knew exactly what had happened. They knew that Jesus had been crucified. They knew that he had been resurrected. They remembered the miracles. And Peter says, you know it. You know very good and well what happened here. Jesus was given to you. And with the help of those who don't know the law, you put him to death by nailing him to a cross. Wow. He's telling those Jews, you're responsible for this death. But then comes the good word. But this was God's plan, which he had made long ago. He knew all this would happen. You see, Jesus' death was not an accident. It was not something that ruined God's plan. It was God's plan to save mankind. God raised Jesus from the dead and set him free from the pain of death because death could not hold him. You see, mankind killed him as God had planned, but God did not leave it there. God rose Jesus Christ from the dead because that was the plan that God had before the world was created. For David said this about him, I keep the Lord before me always, because he is close by my side. I will not be hurt. So I am glad and I rejoice. Even my body has hope, because you will not leave me in the grave. You will not let your Holy One rot. You will teach me how to live a holy life. Being with you will fill me with joy. That's what David wrote. And Peter says, brothers and sisters, I can tell you truly that David, our ancestor, died and was buried. His grave is still here with us today. So was David talking about himself? Or was David, the prophet of God and king of God, prophesying about something that was going to happen in the future? And that's true. This is the prophet David speaking. He was talking about Jesus. He was a prophet and knew God had promised him that he would make a person from David's family a king just as he was. Knowing this before it happened, David talked about the Christ rising from the dead. He said he was not left in the grave. His body did not rot. See, man killed him. The Jews wanted him dead, and through the Romans, they had him crucified in a holy time, the Passover fest. But Jesus turned out to be the Passover lamb, the lamb that was offered not just for the sins of Israel, but for the sins of the world. Jesus, the Passover lamb. So Jesus is the one whom God raised from the dead, and we are all witnesses to this. The apostles were witnesses, and there were many others who saw Jesus and knew he had been raised from the dead. He said, Jesus was lifted up to heaven and is now at God's right side. The Father has given the Holy Spirit to Jesus as he promised. So Jesus has poured out that Spirit, and this is what you now see and hear. You see, Jesus told the apostles when he went to heaven, when he went back to the Father, he would send the Holy Spirit. And the apostles received it upon the day of Pentecost. David was not the one who was lifted up to heaven. But he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit by me at my right side. We talked about this in Bible class. Literally, this says, Yahweh said to Adonai, sit by me at my right side. Yahweh is the name of God. Adonai was the name of God. So he's letting us know that Jesus was going to be God. And it was Jesus who was going to sit at the right hand of God, the right hand of the Father, until the enemies of Jesus would be put at his feet and under his control. Verse 35. Then in verse 36. So all the people of Israel should know this truly. God has made Jesus, the man you nailed to the cross, both Lord and Christ. Lord is Adonai. It is God. And Christ is the Messiah, the Savior, the one who has come down to save the world, save the lost. When the people heard this, they felt guilty. And asked Peter and the other apostles, what shall we do? You see, some of these, I don't know it to be fact, but some of these could have been those very Jews that yelled, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And they were hurt in their hearts because they knew they had done wrong, that they had crucified and killed a good man, a just man. And they knew something had to be done. Now Peter tells them what needs to be done. He's letting them know how they need to call out the name of the Lord. Because that's what it's all about. Verse 21. Anyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. Now Peter's going to tell them how they do this. In verse 38, Peter said to them, this is Peter the apostle, the man with the key to the kingdom of heaven. And he tells them, change your hearts and lives and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Some things he named here. First off, change your heart. We have to realize that we are sinners. We have to realize that our lives, the way we live them, helped crucify the Savior. We need to realize that our thinking needs to change. We should no longer think as the world thinks. We need to think as God thinks. And then he says, change your lives. I might think something, but if it doesn't affect my life, it's not going to do any good. It must affect my life. My thinking must change the way I live. I must start doing that which is correct, and no longer that which is wrong and against the will of God. And then he says, and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. When does the forgiveness of sins come into effect? When we are baptized. Now, there are those who deny that. I believe Peter first, before I believe anyone else. The man with the keys to the kingdom of heaven knows what he's talking about. And Peter said, when you let yourself be baptized. Now, and this word baptized does mean a burial in water. Now, when you bury someone in the ground, you just don't throw a little dirt on them. You cover them completely up. And baptism is a burial in water. And Jesus says, not me, it was Jesus who commanded this, that when you do that, I will forgive your sins. But there's more to it. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Spirit of God lives in us. It marks us as Christians. It marks us as saved. And it is the Spirit of God that helps us when we don't know how to pray. It's the Spirit of God that gives us strength to resist sin. And when do we get the Spirit of God, Charlie? When we're baptized, according to the Apostle Peter. Amazing. We need to link this also to John chapter 3. When Jesus talked to Nicodemus, how did he tell Nicodemus that what needed to be done? Louder? He had to be born again. How? With water and with spirit. There are those who deny that this has anything to do with baptism. I say they need to trust Peter. Peter the apostle, filled with the Holy Spirit, said these words, not Monty Renner, but Peter, the apostle of God. And he said, this promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away. Everyone can come to the Lord Jesus and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit and have sins forgiven, because that is God's plan to save the world. You know, he didn't send Jesus just to save the Jews. He sent him to save the Jews, but not just the Jews. Who did God create? Did God create just the Jews? God created all mankind, and His salvation is for all mankind, and was planned that way from the very, very beginning of creation. It is for everyone. The Lord our God calls to Himself. Those who let themselves be baptized for forgiveness of sins have been called by God, and they are calling upon the name of the Lord because they are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That is how Peter says, one calls upon the name of the Lord. And then he says, Peter warned them with many other words. He begged them, save yourselves from the evil of today's people. Then those people who accepted what Peter said were baptized. About 3,000 people were added to the number of believers that day. They spent their time learning the apostles' teaching, sharing, breaking bread, and praying together. In other words, when they were saved, they didn't just stop right there and go back home and were happy. They started worshiping together. They started spending time together. They studied what the apostles taught. They shared what they had, money, food, homes. They broke bread together. They spent time together. They ate together. They celebrated every first day of the week the Lord's Supper. And it says, and they prayed together. And if we would look further, we would see they met in each other's home. They met in the temple. They spent time with one another because they knew they were now a part of the Lord's church. Because when one is baptized, the Bible teaches that He, God, adds people to His church. That's the way of God. That's what Jesus commanded. And there is no other way to salvation. It's God's way or no way. There are no back doors to heaven, Charlie. There's no open windows. There's open gates. And this is how one enters that gate. This evening, we have Susan White. She's come. She says she has studied. She knows that her first baptism was meaningless because she was not baptized for biblical reasons. And she's asked this evening if we would baptize her in the name of the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of her sins. Susan is in Apopkin. She lives right here in Apopka. And if I'm not mistaken, you work with Jamie David. Jamie also pointed her this direction. We can thank God that the Davids are here now, can't we? In many ways. But Susan, I have a couple questions for you. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that through baptism one is saved, one is forgiven of sins, and one receives the Holy Spirit? And are you ready to change your heart and your life for the Lord Jesus? Then bless you, for this is the confession that Peter also made. This is the confession that every Christian who ever lived has made. So bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you would like, and if any woman would like to help, we will get Susan ready. And if someone would like to help me get ready, I'll get ready too.